flow in this household. And yes, it's true, eyes have not seen it, and ears have not heard it. It's not been conceived in the hearts of men what you, God, has in stock for those who love you. Lord, we thank you. We receive it by faith right now. Not in the sweet by and by, right now. Right now, miracle. Right now, blessing. Right now, healing. Right now, breakthrough. Right now, right now, right now. It is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
to Jesus, to the power, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to my wife, the First Lady, to these deacons who constantly carry the covenant of Christ, to those thousands who are being ministered to through this radio ministry, and to you, O citizens of the kingdom of God. I wonder if we realize what is being said there when you are saluted and a salutation is given and you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. A citizen. You see, a citizen holds and has rights and privileges. Many of you, if you've ever traveled abroad, there are things you cannot do over there. The luxuries that you share and the privileges that you have here, you don't have them overseas. There are some things that you can't do. You have restrictions. But the citizens of that country can do it, but you can't. There are some places that they can go that you are restricted from going. When they hold an election over there, you are restricted from participating in the process of the election. But in the United States, when you get over here, why? Because you're a citizen. There are some restrictions here while we are here in Egypt. But boy, you just let me get to Canaan. When we get to heaven, we're citizens there. And God, you see, there's some tears that we're going to shed here on earth, over here. But when we get home, God shall wipe all tears from our eyes. You're a citizen. Over here, you have death and sorrow. But when we get home, when we get to heaven, in our permanent home, no more death, no more sorrow. I want to talk to you today from my favorite verse. And those that have been with me, they already know it. God is going to open up some truth to us. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, what's the verse? Verse 22 through verse 24. When you have it, I'll know when Christian Love has it, because she'll give respect to God and to God's word. She'll give honor to the word of God. You have it? Say amen. Amen. Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24, those verses, 22, 23, 24, it says, read along with me, and Jesus answering said unto them, what?
Have faith in God.
Verse 23. Let's do it again. Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says what? Said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, therefore I say unto you, mountain,
be
be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he said shall come to pass, he shall. Verse 24. Therefore, I want to talk to you today about, do you believe? Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you believe? Come on now. They don't bite. They're not bad people. Do you believe? Do you believe? Believe. Jesus, in verse 22, says, have faith in God. In verse 23, he talks about believe. Verse 24, he says, believe. It is obvious that Christ, that Jesus, is trying to get us somewhere. He's trying to get us there. Let me bring up to the text, because you will find that verse 1 starts off with Jesus. Now he comes, and as Jesus comes, Jesus knows that he only has 3 years to impregnate the church, to get the church ready for those things that will come. So this is his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jesus now knows that the essence of time is at hand. He knows it. And so he takes his disciples from the laboratory, from the laboratory or the classroom, and takes them on a field trip, because their faith had to now go to another level. Every believer has to understand that your faith has to graduate. Your faith has to elevate, lest you will stay where you are. You will stay in that state of misery and despair. And let me see if I can help you here. Let me keep on with the text. So Jesus now, but as he gets to Jerusalem, he teaches for a while, Tanya, and after he teaches, he finds himself going out of the city, and there in that outside of the city is a fig tree. And Jesus takes this time to show the disciples, because sometimes we walk by faith, but by sight and not by faith. And so Jesus curses the fig tree. Now, the fig tree had a bunch of beautiful leaves on it, but no fruit. The fig tree. Oh man, it was so pretty. Had on a nice hat. Nice suit. Drove a nice car. That fig tree had a good job. Oh Lord, that fig tree spoke the plainest and the best English. That fig tree had plenty of money that it put in the church. But it did not bear any fruit. Ah, what a travesty. What a travesty to be in the church, to be pretty, and not bear fruit. What a tragedy. What a travesty to put so much money in the church and have everyone outside to speak so well of you, but bearing no fruit. That's not good. And so what Jesus does, Jesus, the next day they're coming back into town and they see, they said, the fig tree now has withered away. Jesus takes the time now to show them that those who do not bear fruit for the Lord will soon wither away, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus does not have much use for those who do not bear those nine fruit that you'll find in Galatians 5. There are only nine. It's not like he's telling you to produce 50. He says only produce nine. Somebody say nine. I mean, that's not that hard. He said just nine. And in fact, if you can just get one of them really well, the other nine will be bedfellows of that one. Because the first one is love. That's found in Galatians 5. Watch this. And so now Jesus gets there and the fig tree is now withered away. They asked him, Master, didn't this fig tree exist? And Jesus tell him, the fig tree, didn't you curse it? He says, yes. He said, because I wanted to show you something. Because now you get down to verse 22, and Jesus says, he wants to show them, he says, if you have enough faith, if you trust in God this much, then something has got to happen. I want to talk to some believer today, because just stay with me for a while. You see, if you have faith, he says, you don't need to, watch this, and in verse 22, watch what he says, because there's a grammatical point right there at the end of that sentence that everybody ought to get. I wish you would get that grammatical point. It is not a comma. It is not a colon. It is not a semicolon. The train of thought just doesn't keep going. Jesus says, let me get my point over to you clearly. He says, he answering and said unto them, have faith in God. Period. Somebody didn't get that yet. It doesn't mean that you just have faith in God and keep going. It says just trust God, period, in everything. Just trust him. Just trust him the way you're sitting on the pews. You had no inkling or unction before you sat down that that pew would let you down. God said, Jesus says, trust God. You know, one of the things that would help you trust him a little bit better, if you would start remembering where he's brought you from. See, we soon forget that when we start doing good, we forget how good God and how far and what it was that he brought us through. You ought to go to shouting right there, because when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. I wish somebody would get up and say, you know what, praise team, we don't really need y'all this Sunday. I'm the praise team this Sunday. When I think about what God has done for me, how I trusted in him. See, God will allow you to get in some situations to where you can't trust nobody but him. Is there anybody here that has ever been there? He'll allow you, he'll put you in a fight that he know you can't win. So that when you get there, all you can do is just say, I got to trust you now. How many people God has put him way, he's put you way out there. And you say, man, I'm out here now. I got to trust God. I can't go back and I can't go forward. That's the only thing that I've got to do is trust in God. So watch this. He says in verse 22, Jesus says, have faith, just trust God. I'm trying to get this spirit of fear out of you. You see, somebody has a spirit of fear. You're afraid. You're afraid to take the next step. You're afraid to tithe. You're afraid to trust God. You're afraid to give him yourself. You're afraid that you're going to let God down. You're afraid that, listen, if I do what the Lord tells me to do, if I finally give my life to God, then things are going to work too slow. Things are not going to work out the way that I want. They're not going to work out the way I expected them. That's why we don't want to give it to God. But God says, listen, if you trust God, he will turn things around for you. Aren't you tired of struggling with this thing yourself? Aren't you tired of working against yourself? He says, get rid of this spirit of fear. Every time you get ready to give, watch this. Every time you get ready to do something, every time you get ready to take that leap of faith, you're going to hear fear. You know you can't. You know you're not going to have enough. There are some people that are living alone by themselves because they're afraid, because they have that fear of loving someone else. Well, you know you got hurt in the last time. You know they let you down. That was them.
Yeah.
You know how they are. They'll let you down. That was them. We'll go and talk to somebody else about somebody else. And we'll either let Satan talk us out of our blessings or we'll talk ourselves out. Let me help you here. Do you believe? Now in verse 23, watch what Jesus accelerates now. Watch this. He accelerates because he says, truly I say to you, watch this, that whosoever say unto this mountain, you see, when he says, whosoever says unto this mountain. Now, let me tell you what Jesus was. Jesus was right there. He was sitting between Jerusalem and Jericho. Now, in Jerusalem and Jericho, you could actually visually see the mountains. The mountains was in view, so it looks extremely tall. In fact, in order to climb it, it would look like it's insurmountable. Watch this. So Jesus says, now that I have you outside, if you say unto this mountain, now the mountain to them was an obstacle. Watch this. Your mountain is your situation. Your mountain is your problem. Somebody say, watch this. Your belief changes your environment. Somebody say, environment. We're going to get to this thing in a minute. See, what you believe changes your environment. You need to look at this. It changes your environment. You see, what you believe, it changes what's around you. Let me help you. You see, your environment, I looked up the word environment. I just wanted to look it up and see what it said. The environment means the conditions that surround someone or something, the conditions and influences that affect the growth, the health, the process of something or someone.
Yeah.
Watch this. Your belief changes your surroundings.
Come on, Pastor.
wake up. Here's what's been happening. A lot of people has been changing their surroundings, but not changing their belief. We move from place to place to change our surroundings, but we don't change what we believe. We still believe. Well, if you believe the same thing, you're just in the same another place with the same belief. Talk back to me if you can. You see, your belief changes. Watch this. He says, whatever you say, if you say to this mountain, I'm not talking about speaking right now, because you can't speak it until you believe it. I hadn't gotten to speaking yet. We wrapped up on say. If I say unto this, you can't get to say until you believe. What you going to say it for if you don't believe it? Watch this. He says, what you believe is going to change change your surroundings. It's going to change your environment. You know what? The reason why your environment are the same is because your belief are the same. Because when your belief changes, your environment changes. Let me help you here. Watch this. You around some haters, you around folk that are negative, and you start talking about the word of God. Watch this. Your environment going to change. Either they're going to start talking about the word of God with you, or they're going to what? Your environment change. You're going to find yourself standing there sometimes all by yourself. That's the way you weed haters out. You don't weed haters out by rolling your neck and cursing and acting a fool the way that they act a fool. You just go into that word and bring that word out that's in you. Oh, God, I got to go use the bathroom. Child, somebody calling me. They're gonna clear out. Your surroundings has changed because, watch this, because your belief has changed. Your environment changes. If you're a Christian and you're still the same person that you were 10 years ago, something has stunted your growth. You need to go see Jesus. You got to go see the doctor. The doctor will tell you what's wrong with you and fix you. Watch this. Somebody say environment. Your belief changes your environment. Your environment, your surroundings, your belief, what you believe, that is what changes. You see, we're trying to change our environment before we change, preach Reverend Turner, before we change our belief. We're moving from city to city. We spend a lot of money moving from one city to the next city. We go to the next job, to the next job. We go to place, from pillar to post. We're trying to change our surrounding. We're trying to change our environment, but yet our beliefs stay the same. And that you'll notice that whatever it is that you're running from, just keep packing up, leaving with you. I wish I had some believers. I've had some problems that said, Turner, you moving? Pack your stuff, Turner. Let's go. I'm going right along with you. Where are we going? Don't matter. We just going. We're going together. We in complete lunacy. We're still believing the same thing. What is the definition of insane? Are we still in that state? When are you going to come out? Somebody say environment. Second of all, what you believe, watch this. It changes in verse 23. Watch this, what Jesus said. Jesus says, have faith in, he said, for truly I say unto you that whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his what? Now, you can't doubt in your heart. If you have faith in God, faith in God deals with doubt. See, verse 22, Jesus says, have faith with faith in God. Well, when you have faith in God, now you have something to deal with doubt. Doubt is too big for you to handle. We're going to help somebody today. Doubt is too big for you to handle. That's what has been holding you down. Doubt is a part of fear. Fear is a part of doubt. Anybody in here ever been in prison? Huh? Y'all, a lot of y'all ought to raise your hand.